Just start rambling while people roll in. So thanks everyone for coming. This is Nucleus. I'm the host, and joining me up here will be Keeks, Swiftbowl, and Lewin. There are some artists and community members from the Pixel Lions DAO. And just a little bit about myself, the host. I'm launching a science-themed pixel art collection on Stargaze, and it'll have a deep connection to the Interplanetary Dex Astroport, and we can talk about that later. But I think we should introduce our co-host for the evening. Keeks, do you want to say a few words?
I'm Keeks. I'm the somehow ended up being the pixel artist on the LineDAO project, which is now Pixel Lines.
Nice. Swift?
Yeah, hi, everyone. So I'm known as the mother of bots. And one human child as a daughter. And I'm happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Nice. Thanks for coming, Swift. Lewin, what's your role in the Pixel Lions DAO?
Hey, everyone. That's a great question. I'm just kind of always present. So helping out Keats and Swiftwall and kind of trying to be a creative community member. We got to work on some different projects with them, and I'm just happy to be here.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, thanks for willing to be a co-host up here. So yeah, in this space, I mean, kind of our goal was to take three steps, talking about pixel art in general, and the process of making a collection can be a lot of work, but also a daunting task if you're interested in it, starting it yourself. And so, I mean, when I first started thinking about making Nucleus, I had so many questions for so many people, and YouTube just wasn't cutting it, and blogs were all about EVM. And so, yeah, like Keeks was one of the first people I started talking to. And it was incredibly helpful to just get some perspective from within the cosmos on how to start an NFT collection. So what we wanted to talk about was creating NFTs, generating NFTs, and then automating and integrating NFTs. And kind of that would be the general theme of this space. And every one of these co-hosts have things to contribute to those points. I mean, first we were thinking maybe, Lewin, do you want to give an update for the Pixel Lions? Anything new going on there?
Absolutely.
I think there was a big sale recently.
Yeah, so one of the kind of linked collections that Keeks has been developing for the Roar Burn Festival has sold, a couple of them have sold recently on the secondary market. One was for, I think, 3,000 Luna, and the one yesterday was for 6,666 Luna, and which was totally thematically appropriate because it was a hellfire lion. It was a little devil lion surrounded by flames. But all of those are commemorating the roar burning that's been initiated by LionDAO. And it's kind of one of the raffled gifts every month. Keeks has been developing a new NFT every month to kind of celebrate that. And then that gets raffled off. And apparently, you know, the community members are really supportive of it. And these are in hot demand, no pun intended. Because
yeah, I mean, those are awesome. Every month they get just more and more detailed.
Yeah, they're really, really fun. And it's just, I think it's a really great showcase for kind of Keeks' sense of humor. And it really aligns with kind of the community and the sense of fun and play that we're trying to instill in both Lion Town and Pixel Land. Yeah.
Cool.
But all, just broadly, we've those have picked up. People have been paying attention more to the burn thing, which is really impressive given how much Roar value went up in the last month or so with the Alliance asset status. So people
are still willing to burn.
People are still willing to burn and bring that supply down and make it even more valuable. But in the meantime, you know, Pixel Lines sales are continuing. You know, we're maintaining a good like mid hundreds. I think right now the floor price is like 125, but even recently it was like 170 Luna. You know, we're working away at creating a really fun new game in the Telegram. Those of you who might have played in the Christmas themed multi-user dungeon that Swiftwool developed, and I got a chance to write on. We're putting together another one that's going to be a little bit more elaborate, and it should be a lot of fun for the spring. So those
that's
are
awesome. I remember I was playing that dungeon crawler like in the airport on my phone to kill the time of a layover. It was awesome.
Awesome. Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, actually, speaking of the floor price in Luna, we also have to start reporting the floor price in Stars, because now there are Pixel Lands on Stargaze, thanks to Arc Protocol, which I see we have in the audience, Mr. T. I just called him out on the spot. If he wants to come up and say anything about Arc Protocol, or I mean, I can explain what it does, or Lewin can describe how that process went, because Pixel Lines was one of the first collections that actually went interchain.
Yeah. While we're waiting for Mr. T, if he wants to speak, Arc was really, really generous and brought, it kind of opened the door to any Terra collection that wanted to move cross-chain. And I think Pixel Lions, we jumped in pretty quickly pursuing that. I think we might have been the second Terra collection. I think the first one was Galaxy Punks, and then Pixel Lions was second. But yeah, it was Arc was awesome to work with. You know, I had tons of questions about the technical stuff, and they were just so helpful. And you know, they're engineering wizardry made that possible, and I think it's a really huge accomplishment for these different collections to be able to be present on Terra and then move to Stars and, you know, other chains as well in the future, and be able to have introductions to new NFT communities, but then also kind of arbitrage opportunities. Like if you can buy a Pixel Lion on Stargaze, send it back over to Terra and sell it for Luna at a different rate. Like there's a lot kind of that door opens up in terms of arbing and meeting new communities. And it's just a really cool opportunity.
But yeah, absolutely. I think like the day after Galactic Punks went live on Stargaze, we saw people posting about, oh, I bought my first Galactic Punk. These are like Stargaze community members posting about that. So like, that's exactly what you want to see when you go into chain, new users. So Conspiracy Theory and Mr. T both requested to speak. Maybe Mr. T, you go first, because we're talking about your project.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Hopefully I'm not too late to the party.
No, not at all.
I have also another team member here, Crypto Scotty. Maybe he also wants to join.
Okay, yeah. I can bring him up. Did you want to say anything, or are you going to make Crypto Scotty say something?
Maybe Scotty wants to say something. I'm just happy here, and yeah.
Sure. Yeah, thanks for coming up. Hey, Scotty. Okay. Maybe conspiracy theory, you had something to say.
No, we just wanted to say hello, and we're giving you we're giving you our support, and we're excited to see your collection.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, Interchain is great, and it's one of the first things that I wanted with Nucleus. That's kind of the reason why I went looking for ARC Protocol and talking to them, was because I knew very early that I wanted these NFTs to go everywhere. Not just because I feel like I'm connected to multiple chains NFT communities, but also because Astroport is connected to Terra, Injective Say, and Neutron. And so I wanted the NFTs to be able to follow people back to their home chain if they want to. We're not at that point yet with ARC, but I think eventually we'll get there, assuming marketplaces get launched on these respective chains. So that's kind of why I first sought out ARC Protocol, and then just all of a sudden, like, two of my favorite NFT collections, Pixel Lions and Galactic Punks, I saw there asking questions. So that was awesome to see. Okay, cool. So, I mean, let's talk about creating pixel art NFTs and how that process goes. And yeah, like, Keeks, let's pick your brain. You're the master here.
I wouldn't say I'm a master. So I think the funny thing is that, you know, Pixel Lines was my first generative collection. So there was quite a steep learning curve for me to get that stood up. I'm known for having worked on coherence as well.
Yeah.
But that was mainly to sort of support them. Well, not support them. They gave me the opportunity to sort of create a few traits, which I did as sort of a single layer graphic. And then the main artist took those apart and included them in the collection, which I was quite pleased about. But through that, I sort of learned how a generative collection works. So, I mean, I could go into that for a few seconds. So
yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, for those who don't know, generative collection is basically playing with paper doll dress-ups. I don't know whether you've seen those. If you have kids, you sort of cut out characters that form a base layer, and then you cut out other layers on top for clothing and accessories, and you sort of paste them onto backgrounds, which is another layer. But instead of cutouts, obviously you create these as graphical layers on a transparent background asset. And once you've got a collection of those different traits and different layers, the generation part is then taking all those different assets and mixing and matching them until you get a varied collection, making sure that they don't repeat, so everything is unique. And to make sure that none of the combinations clash with each other. And if they do, you sort of go back and update the art, make sure that when you regenerate them, they sort of work with each other. And eventually, as you go through that iterative process, you end up with a collection. And in our case, it was the Pixel Lines.
Cool, yeah. Yeah, for me, the hardest part, the first hardest part was finding a base. Like, I knew I wanted to do some kind of scientist, but it's like, do you want just a head? Do you want a body? Like, how much of the screen do you want to take up for just the base? And then you have to make that base like actually look good, because it's going to be in every single image. And so that definitely took some time for me. And I feel like you were in a similar place, right? Like, you didn't know how detailed the initial lion would be, or like how big.
Yeah. I had a lot of discussions with Mohawk at the time. So I suggested a few different versions. So what we ended up with was quite a zoomed out version with lots of space for background and the character being quite small. And there were other versions that we considered, which was more zoomed in. So you'd only see sort of the upper torso of the line, and the face would be quite detailed. And I think the smaller you go, the more challenging it becomes to convey things like expressions and clothing details and things like that. So although it may look basic, I think, you know, pixel art is quite a funny medium in that, yes, it looks basic, but I think because of its limitations, it's quite challenging to try and convey things like I said, expressions and other such details.
Yeah, I mean, especially with pixel art too, like whether you zoom in and zoom out, they, or like look at it quickly or really look at it deeply, it changes every time you look at it. And it, Pixel Wizards, it was kind of the first moment I had with pixel art that I really liked. And I was like, wow, these things are so tiny. Like the whole face is like 6 pixels. Like, yeah. how are you even showing anything? And somehow he did it. And so that kind of, yeah, that's one of the inspirations for Nucleus and got me going and being like, okay, I have more pixels than him, so I should be able to do this.
Yeah, there's a lot of trickery when it comes to pixel art. I mean, if you zoom in, like you said, blown up on full screen, none of it makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's a sort of zoom, it's sort of a zoom back out again and have like a smaller version of it. There's a bit of trickery there that, how can I say, that suggests things. Like, for example, my most favorite example is a pixel art where a character smiles and it's essentially just a rectangle of white. And in order to trick people to think that the character is smiling, you just add like 1 pixel shading to the right of it and a bit on the bottom, and it looks like it's smiling. But then if you just, you know, if you sort of analyze it, it's just a rectangle.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I like about it.
Yeah, so many like hours of me sitting on this couch working on putting 1 pixel here or 1 pixel there and asking my partner, I was like, so does it look better this pixel here or there? And she's like, just stop asking me. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff is quite intentional. So every pixel is meant to have a purpose when it comes to pixel art, especially with a smaller canvas.
Do you feel like it's therapeutic for you or stressful?
It can be stressful if you're on a schedule. For sure, I think on pixel lines, because everything with the line DAO when it was starting up, you remember Ryan was coming up with all these different new things. So he had an update almost every day with, I don't know, DLC closed out with White Whale and LPs and OTCs. And, you know, the NFT idea was just sort of something that the community wanted. And at the speed that they were going, we'd sort of tried to match it with the new marketplace release that Backbone Labs are trying to hit. So there's many different moving parts, but we wanted to get out the collection as quick as possible. So I think we spent about a month and a half on it, which I think was a bit of a record. I don't think I could do that again, though.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds extremely fast. Or like for what went into it.
Yeah, and I think we had a pretty responsive group of people. So Spearbot was always available to bounce ideas off. The technical part of generating a collection, I needed to, so I looked into it in the first week of creating the collection, just so I can understand how I can manage the assets and make sure that things don't clash when I start generating it. But the actual, that part of it, that was very technical to me. So I didn't have time to go into it in much detail. So I'm glad Kirusu was there to help me out. And I think it was a team effort. Let's just say that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a great lead into the next step of creating an NFT collection is actually generating them. Like what you can do, like what you said, you have all the assets, all the different layers, you can test them yourself and like, oh, is this overlapping? Is this overlapping? Okay, it looks fine. But then you need to actually randomize and put all of them together and then expand the collection to whatever 1,000 you want. And yeah, like that part was completely beyond me. And I asked around, like Curtis said she had some, she did the pixel line, so maybe she could do it for Nucleus. I talked to Evan from Alliance DAO, and he suggested I use Hashlips, which is a free open source platform you can use, and it requires a little bit of coding or programming or just being more familiar with that type of stuff, which I'm not. And so then ultimately I asked my partner to take all the different layers and run it through a script in a program she's familiar with, RStudio, and it randomized all the layers. And I guess somehow she took out duplicates. And then but that doesn't generate the images. It just generates the metadata. So there's, you know, 5,000 lines of the different traits. And then I asked Swift what she could do with that. So Swift, can you tell us a little bit about what you actually did with that? Because I still have no idea. I just sent you files and you send me pictures, which is awesome.
Oh, sure. First of all, I wanted to say very cool that your partner did this on R. I was going to ask you how she randomized all of this, because I haven't done that part either.
Yeah.
So really cool.
Well, she can send it to you if you want the whole thing, and then we don't need her anymore.
I do not know how to program on R, so I wouldn't be able to. But yeah, and I wouldn't want to kick her out of the process either. I'm happy she participated. I created a little script. I had been playing around with creating little montages for Pixel Lions. And this all started with this idea that Keeks had of creating these special collections or special images for Halloween. And we also did one for, for the Plucky Penguins launch as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Christmas.
And Christmas, exactly. And so I found a little tool, an open source tool. It's called Image Magic. And what it does is takes these layers, these traits that Keeks was talking about, and just pastes them together. So really what it does is go through the list of the different NFTs and with all their traits, and it just pastes each one together. It's quite simple. It does take a lot of server power. So the first time I did it for Nucleus, I killed the server. So then I had to put a little time between each one. And so it takes like a few hours to get them done. But I've had a lot of fun doing this because I get to see each of the traits. Because I really want to insist on this point. It's so much work when I look at it and I look at little trait and, you know, the background, the pets, the props. It's so much work. And so it's really fun for me to be able to see each of them up close and then see how they all come together. But yeah,
it was really nice when every time you sent me something, you would say something nice. And that was like great encouragement to keep going. So yeah, thank you for that. It seemed like you were just as excited as I was to make these little things.
Absolutely. It's been really fun.
Cool. And so you said it was a program that you downloaded or a script, like a specific script that you downloaded?
I created a little script with an open source tool. So the open source tool does most of the work. It's called Image Magic. I use Node programming. Mm-hmm. And it has a little function that's called montage or something of the sort. And so I just put what my script does is it takes each of the traits and puts them into this little tool, and that's how I create each of the NFTs.
Did you see online that other people were using the same tool for generating NFT collections?
No. My story is a little bit strange. I'm not actually a developer. I have a technical background. I'm an electronics engineer. And I had kind of left tech for a long time. And I started helping out on Pixel Lions, and we needed to create a bot and everything, because I saw that Julian was posting each sale of Pixel Lions online by hand, and I felt really bad for him. So what I did was I searched around for some tools to be able to create bots, and then the same thing to create these images. And really, I didn't find anything. I felt very, I felt like the same thing that you mentioned, that everything online was for Ethereum NFTs and, EVM. And so I said, okay, you know what? I'm just going to try to create this on my own. And I have my partner's developer, and that's what he's done all his life. So he's really helped me out to start programming again and start getting into all of this.
Nice.
So, It's really been like a huge opportunity and so much fun, and I've learned so much.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's how things get done, right? You look online and you're like, ugh, this doesn't exist. And it's like, do I really have to do this myself? And it's like, okay, like, let's do it. And then, yeah, you end up learning and hopefully having fun along the way.
Yeah,
it's funny. It's funny you were mentioning that Lewin was posting all the sales by himself. I think Lisa, who's in the audience, was doing that for Skeleton Punks for a long time. And it's so true. Like, every project has that where there's one person just like doing it, and it must be so frustrating. But for the love of the project, they do it until they have.
I was talking to Lisa. Sorry to cut you off.
No.
Very early on, I had no idea what I was doing, and I kept reaching out to Lisa because I kept seeing all of the posts that she was doing. And I was like, "How do you do this?" She's like, "Yep, it's by hand." Like, okay, that's what we do.
Yeah, I was like actually pretty convinced that she was running her own bot just like from her account. And then she's like, no, that's just me doing it every time.
She was a fantastic resource. But yeah, then Swiftwool and I started talking because she offered, I think we started talking around the time that she was offering the bot and just saying like, hey, you need help. And I was like, no, it's fine. And then like after, I would say maybe 2 weeks, I was like, this was a terrible idea. This is, so I think Swiftwool came to my aid at exactly the right moment. But I just wanted to jump in and say, I think it's really incredible what this project has done in terms of drawing people in who, and I'm referring to Pixel Lions, but LionDAO specifically, like drawing people in who might not be crypto native, and drawing in people with different skill sets. I come from kind of a creative background as a writer and in like the entertainment industry. And I know Keeks is coming from a highly specialized background, but also exploring work as an artist, and Swiftwool is coming from a different background, and it's just kind of like bringing in these maybe not traditionally crypto perspectives to create community and storytelling and really build and make a creative space that I think has, like, I don't know, I haven't seen this in other places. So it feels like your project is doing something similar, where it's like, okay, you know, this is an opportunity for exploration as much as it is, a scholarship or like research. Yeah. Like it feels like an opportunity for discovery, and okay, you're bringing together all of these people with different talents. Like, let's put it all in the recipe and see what comes out. And that's just been something that's really been inspiring. And it's cool to see you continue that kind of feeling. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, really well said. Thank you. And totally, I absolutely totally agree. And I say this like every day, I feel like, but something that I love so much about crypto is that people come from all these unique backgrounds, and you know, not everyone is from finance, and that, like you said, it makes the space special because people are unique. And when you work together with all these people, you get to actually create cool things. Like, yeah, I needed every one of these people up here to create Nucleus. And so, and these people are not just like econ people or traders or whatever. And so, yeah, you need everyone. And I think I probably got that from being in Pixelands and LionDAO early on and seeing that and being like, yeah, okay, like this is how you can create something, but you need help.
Yeah, about that. So I'm chiming in here because about the needing help part. So when Sufo mentioned I had the idea for custom lines, the Telegram bot was actually a happy accident, because initially I had no idea who to turn to, because initially I had the idea of doing this via a website that you visit, and then you just enter your Pixel Lines ID and sort of a customization option, and then it spits out an image. And I knew that Swiftwell was working on bots for Lewin, and sort of I went through Lewin to ask if Swiftwell may be able to help. And that's how we got together initially for, you know, some of these projects. Then Swiftwell came up with a brilliant idea of creating a bot for it, and then nothing, the rest is history.
Nice, accidents. Yeah. Accidents are how science progresses. Yeah, I mean, we're talking a lot about Swift's bots. Maybe she can explain just all the bots that are currently live, and maybe how that process, how you got to the process of making bots, and like how you want to continue that.
Yeah, sure. But before that, I wanted to say something, because there is something that's come up on other spaces, and I think it's very related to what we were just speaking about now. And it's that really, if someone has wants to contribute to a project and has an idea, and you know, just if you have that feeling, come and participate, because we're always needing new ideas. We are always needing help, and the community. That's what I feel about crypto, that the community is like so welcoming. And I've had this experience with making these bots, and you know, I sometimes make mistakes. Some lines come out without faces, and everyone's so forgiving. So really, it's a space where you can create something and you get feedback right away. And, you know, I feel like everyone's just putting this energy of, yeah, let's go ahead and do these things. So yeah, it's just an invitation, because I know many projects need this help, and oh, we'd love to welcome you.
I love it. Totally agree.
So talking about the bots, let me see, what can I tell you? So yeah, it started off just as we were mentioning, an idea to help the Pixel Lions have sales posts on Twitter. And then we started posting these sales on Telegram. And now we have a whole bunch of commands there. You can see we've implemented floor price. You can see the best priced lions. So it's the NFTs that are like best priced. And we, with these bots, we created the Christmas Carol game as well. For me, bots are really like the future. I love bots, as you can tell. And I feel that I'm always on Telegram. I'm always on Telegram. And so I want to be able to, I don't know, just look up what's happening directly on the Telegram group. We implemented as well a buy bot, so you can buy your Pixel Lion directly through Telegram. And yeah, this is kind of, it's been a whirlwind, because other communities have reached out to me. I've helped out with Galactic Punks, with the Galactic Mining Club. They also have a few bots implemented. It's also, well, like the space is always growing. So now we're on Stargaze, and I've been trying to keep up with everything that has to be done. But basically, it's, you know, any idea that comes up of something that's easier to do through Telegram, we try to implement it with the bot.
Yeah. Do the Galactic Mining Club, do they have the floor price Telegram also installed, or is it just a sales bot?
Not yet.
Are you asking for that? Are they like all when floor price bot?
they're you know how Galactic Mining Club is, right? They're always doing something, and I'm sure that they would really appreciate these other commands. I'm a bit behind, but I am trying to get up to date.
I think their new hashtag is like no sleep or something. So
no sleep. That's not my hashtag. I'm like, yeah. please sleep.
I don't relate. Once they're going, like, how much effort is it to maintain them?
So that's an interesting question because there's always issues coming up. Changes I've had, for example, I've been using certain APIs and they've changed suddenly. So I've had to change bots, they stopped working. I realized that there are like small errors in formatting, for example. And so I have to go in and change them. It's not a lot of work, but it's constant work. So yeah, so it's just little things. I hopefully there will be a moment when I have everything standardized and there's nothing else to do, but I doubt that will ever happen, to be honest. And plus, you know, there's always new ideas coming up and I try to implement them for all the communities I'm working with once I have them done. So it's constant work. It's fun. I don't want it to sound like it's not fun. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, constant.
And do you ever get like notifications that something is broken, or is it always just people complaining or people telling you? It's not like, oh, a flashing red light shows up and...
Why are you asking me this? Usually I do not notice. I should have another way of notifying. It's one of my plans. But it's usually people notice right away. Like it's very fast. This space is super fast. So
always while you're sleeping, right?
Someone's like, oh yeah, like the other day, let me see. Oh, because the sales bot on Telegram, I think it was GMC actually. So someone bought a NFT and then they immediately sent me a message and they were like, why hasn't this post come up yet? I got an NFT and I'm waiting for it. I don't remember who it was. I don't want to. You know, there's no problem for me. I just find it funny. It posts every 15 minutes on Telegram. So if there's a sale in the last 15 minutes, it will post. And on Twitter, my bots post every hour. And that's just to avoid spamming, because I've been blocked by X before. And so it's just to safeguard that. But it's fun that people really depend on it. And, you know, a post comes up and they're just like, oh, you know, that's a great NFT. I wish I had bought it, type of thing. So it's cool.
I just want to jump in and commend SwiftWool for this, because another thing that has started happening as a result of these bots is the fact that sales platforms are now catching missing updates as a result of SwiftWool's bots. So, not calling anybody out, these things happen, but I think occasionally the indexer for Backbone Labs has not always caught delistings or sales or postings. So sometimes people get a little frustrated if they, you know, put a lion or something else up for sale and it doesn't immediately present on the marketplace. And what started happening is I know that I can go through and look at what the bot has presented, look on, you know, using that as a resource and saying like, okay, we need to make sure that we update through like the actual hash ID and update the marketplace to accurately reflect what is going on out there. And that is in large part because SwiftWool's bots are now kind of this layer of redundancy that catches things. So, you know, as things get upgraded, I know that Backbone Labs is coming out with a second version or a third version of Necropolis coming soon. So that should solve the indexer problem. But, you know, that kind of creativity and that kind of work has payoffs that go beyond just being able to, have an easier Twitter post or take work off my plate. Like other people are relying on it in ways that were probably not even intended. And that's just a really cool thing to see, that like that kind of recognition and utility is coming out of something that SwiftMold was just like, hey, why don't I experiment with this and see if it's useful? And it turns out it's enormously useful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome. And hopefully Nucleus will be included in these Swift bots later, and they'll be on Stargaze. So I think Stargaze maybe only uses Apello for now. I don't know that for sure. I mean, actually, there are a couple now that I'm thinking, Digits, Z-Chain Labs and Apello. So, I mean, Swift, I think you need like a name for your bot company, for your bot army.
Didn't you suggest SwiftBots? I like
SwiftBots. So soon we'll get you a channel on Stargaze. Cool. Well,
yeah, trademark SwiftBots right now. It's perfect. Yeah. It's the name. It's like it implies like the quality of what it delivers. Trademark it now. You're going to make a fortune. Great. My two cents.
So, somebody buy the Stargaze name quick.
Cool, guys. That's kind of all I had today. I'd be happy to have anyone up from the audience to come say anything, or if any of the speakers want to have any closing remarks, and maybe while the speakers say one last thing, the audience can think about any questions.
Hey, guys, I wanted to jump in, if I may. Can you guys hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Awesome. Yeah, it's been a fun convo listening to you guys talk, and the pixel art from Keeks, and my intro to pixel art was with Skeleton Punks on Terra, which was a lot of fun back then. And then bots, Swift definitely grabbed that name. Swift Bots is perfect. That one works very well. And then, yeah, you guys talked about glitches and updates, and I heard someone said about how fast everything moves, and things do move super fast. And it's one of the things that at Arc, the devs are just trying to keep up sometimes with some of the stuff. And yeah, we do have Pix Alliance, who went interchain with us, and things are just going so fast, and we have more projects going interchain all the time. And like somebody said, a marketplace is going to be needed. And all this stuff will work itself out. It just takes so long to develop. But one of the things that we faced when we started going interchain was where data is kept. In the case of traits on-chain versus off-chain data, where is the collection keeping its information? And that posed an issue at first. But Mr. T and the team are working super hard, and they're going to be releasing a new version of the protocol, and it's no longer going to have to be a separate protocol for fungibles and non-fungibles. It's just going to be the CW721 protocol, and it's going to basically be able to read the data as needed. And there's just another example of just trying to keep up, trying to make sure everything is working right as the space evolves. So I just wanted to just kind of say hey and let you guys know that we're definitely working hard. We're so happy to be working with so many great projects, and we just look forward to see what everything, you know, what this bull run brings, because I feel like we're knee deep, maybe even waist deep in this bull run. So it's super exciting. I may sound a little bit tired, but that's because I'm always staring at the charts. I'm always in the Discord and so on. But yeah, without getting too technical, the new version is going to be new and improved, turbocharged, and all souped up like everybody wants it to be. And then we get to step forward from there. I mean, if anybody has any technical questions, Mr. T is here. So that's definitely a privilege to get to ask him. And he might want to add a few things that I may have missed.
Mm-hmm. This is some we are going to announce that soon. So what Scott is talking about, the CW721, basically the collection contract, so everybody's using this contract, and it's we are doing a major refactoring with new features. And he mentioned about metadata. Basically, there are two kinds of metadata: the NFT metadata and the collection metadata. And especially going interchain, and every collection community has their own needs. And so with the new contract, you will be able to add any data on collection level. One of the most important things is like royalty. It's interesting because the royalties are not defined in the collection contract. So every marketplace defines their own custom contract for that one. And this will be part of the standard. So this is really absolutely important. So once you have a royalty defined in the contract, in the collection contract, so no. The goal is just like there shouldn't be any bad actors, just like marketplaces ignoring the royalties for the curators, for example, and then you can force them because the royalties are defined in the contract. And
how does that work if like Stargaze already has their own separate royalty contract, yes, and then like Nucleus comes over with a contract of their own defining royalties? How do they combine?
So Stargaze did a pretty good design. So basically what we did is just like we just are porting their design into the standard collection contract. And also the collection contract, you will also will be able to set the creator address. It's really interesting, the collection contract, there's no creator address for this one. So it's completely in the hands of a marketplace, for example, yeah. And now it will be part of that one. So it will the new release will be really a very creator centric. We focus on the creator and protect the creators and with the royalties and all of that. That's one part. The other part is like with NFTs. Like if you want to change the PFP or certain trades, you basically are not able to change that in the contract itself. You some kind of need to migrate that one. But now it will be also standard that the creator can update each NFT. So it will put a lot of new opportunities for each collection.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I mean, you guys just got a grant confirmation yesterday. And so it's awesome to see that you'll be able to keep advancing this tech.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, big thanks. Big shout out to everyone who supported us on that recent grant. I can't thank you guys enough. R can't thank you guys enough. That one was definitely community driven. There was very little as a team that we could do other than ask everyone to support us, and they did. So big thanks. Thanks for mentioning that. I almost forgot to say something.
Yeah, no worries. Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for coming up and saying something as a part of ARC.
Happy to be here, man. Thanks for having us, really.
Any of the other co-hosts want to say anything, or speakers from the audience?
Yeah. Don't all come up at once.
I don't want to cut anybody off, but I just want to say, like, on a personal note, going back to this idea that like these communities are bringing together people of very different backgrounds and skill sets. I know that in getting to work with Keeks and Swiftwool and the larger LionDAO community, I've found new kind of outlets for creative energy. And I think it's a really, really cool thing to see. Like, I would never have thought of some of the things that we've come up with individually. But because I've been really fortunate to be in a constant conversation with Keeks and Swiftwool, and that has generated new ideas, and kind of the spirit of it has been, oh, what if we did this? And then, you know, sometimes that doesn't work, or sometimes like, no, that's a crazy idea. But sometimes it's like, oh yeah, I never would have thought of that. So let's give it a shot. And then it turns out to work really well, and then have all of these other applications or catch people off guard and kind of like create a space that's fun and novel and ever evolving. I'm just enormously grateful for that. And I did not anticipate that would be the result of getting involved in, you know, this little DAO experimental DAO project. And then,
yeah.
You know, I wasn't even into NFTs prior to this. Like, I knew nothing about them. And it just became a creative space that I was just like, oh, these are cool people and I want to work with them.
That's crazy. Actually, Blank said the same thing. I think he said a Pixel Lion was the first NFT he ever bought. And now he's on the GMC council and like all over our timelines, all over everything NFTs. So it's awesome to see that.
Fluffy, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So what are you thinking about in regards to launch date? What's going on there?
So I told some people, probably mistakenly, that I wanted to launch this weekend. But it just still feels like there's so much to do. And everyone is telling me there's nothing worse than a rushed mint. And they're right. And I also have Easter break coming up. And so I think it'll just be after that. And then I'll be able to be fully available like post mint for a long time, because there's so much stuff to do right after you mint. Also, like integrations with TFM, Pulsar, SwiftBots. So I want to enterprise DAOs. And so I just want to also be like full focused for that. And so probably a couple more weeks. I'll try not to set a set date until I actually have a set date, so I don't get anyone's expectations going.
We're all waiting anxiously. No pressure.
Thanks, Swift. Cool. Well, thank you everyone for coming. This has been a blast. I'm going to try and do weekly spaces up until mint. And I mean, maybe after. I've literally never hosted spaces before, but this has been a blast this week and last week. So yeah, thanks again, everyone, for coming up. Thank you, our hosts, co-host Keeks, Swift, Lewin, and our friends at ARK. You guys make all of this possible. So thanks again, and hopefully see you guys next week.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these token knocks. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Click the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage, like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible, when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Channel Spaces.